Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise God.
Praise God.
A place where Jesus shows up. We're so grateful. Cheryl's got to make her announcement.
As you can tell, the kids are passing out the sheets. It's Christmas here. And Christmas is the 14th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. I had a Paula Sue Martin help me. She's baking cakes. If anybody wants a cake, right here, this is Paula Sue. She's raised $530 baking cakes for Christ Haven. Yes, thank you, thank you. We have $10,208 so far. Last year we got almost $95,000, $94,942. We gave Christmas to 6,223 kids, teen moms, elderly, and homeless, and it helped a lot of people. Besides Christ Haven, those are the foster kids that are abused, abandoned, neglected, that cannot be adopted, and most of their parents are in the penal system. And then, of course, we helped Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. They call me the angel lady there because the first year that we started helping them, we bought 5 angel trees, a tree that had like 200 tags with presents on it. We bought 5 of those for them. And so they didn't know who I was. Walmart would say, this lady just comes in the store. She buys the whole tree. They send their Walmart staff out to bring all my gifts in. I just stand there, you know, like, oh, I want all this. And they just go get it for me. Of course, Kohl's is wonderful. Kohl's gives us 30% off. They gave us $7,000 in grants last year because every time I shop, I get $500 for shopping, which, of course, is lovely. I love that. And then we gave to the Wings of Hope, who gave to Grace and Alina Pope Home, which is a lot of kids, plus it's teen moms. The teen moms, they just now are in the process of building another house. They have 60 kids at Christ Haven, and they sold some of their land to build, and the 4 builders that bought the land are together building this house for them, which puts another 8 to 10 kids in there. But these teen moms, they're like, some of them are 13 years old when they get pregnant. And, you know, so they're teaching, they're, and some of them have graduated from school now. Well, we just went to open house 2 weeks ago, and we saw Kira. Kira was in the system with us the whole time. She just graduated from dental school, and we saw her, and it gave her $100 when she told us that, you know. And it's like, praise the Lord, you know. What a great thing that they sent them to it. They have transition cottages, so once that they graduate from high school, whether they go to college, they send them always to a Christian college like Abilene Christian, something like that. And they send, then they go, or if they're going to do something like dental school, something, they'll send them to this cottage and let them go to school and help them. And they have part-time jobs, a lot of them. And so it's a blessing that you've blessed so many people. So if you're going to give, please put on your check or your giving envelope Christmas so that I put it in the right place. And I appreciate all your help. And, of course, my goal is to surpass 100,000. So y'all need to help out.
Amen. Okay, God praise bless. The Lord.
Thank
praise
you.
The
God
Lord.
Bless.
Praise the Lord. Maybe like the healing school yesterday. We started at about 1, and we went till 5:30. And then we prayed for people. And Cheryl and I finally got through praying for our last team about 9:30 last night. So we were here a while. So many people tell us how much they appreciate what we do as a team here at the Living Savior. I've never been to a church in my whole life anywhere that they teach the Word of God for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours, and then you stay and deal with each individual person, and you pray over them. In fact, the pastor at Baltimore the other day, he told some of the people there, we had a fairly good crowd, and of course, just Cheryl and I, we were there to have to pray. He said, when pastor gets through teaching and you come up to pray, don't tell him that your mother and dad came from Ireland in 1900. He said, he don't need to know all that. He said, just get to the point, tell him what your sin is, and let him pray for you, because he said, he is the only man I've ever seen that we can still be here at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning after he preaches till 9 o'clock. But he said, this guy, it's not uncommon at all for them to still be here. And then he said, on Saturday, when I have to take them to the airport, you know, they sleep in till probably 9 o'clock, and then I have to go get them and said, take them to the airport. And he says, in the morning, on Saturday morning, I have other services here when they're not here. So he said, if they stay till 1 or 2 o'clock praying for you, I have to stay here with them. So he said, that makes a short night for me. But anyway, he said, they're the only couple that I've ever had in my church, and he has different people all the time in his church. He said, they are the only team that prays for people on an individual basis. I don't know why we do it. It's just God called us to do this, I guess. If we can deal with you for a little while and we can find your sin and we can get you to repent of that sin, then we can get you healed. You know, because God promises always to forgive all of our iniquities, and after he forgives all of our iniquities, to heal all of our diseases. So now then, since I've learned what I've learned about the ministry and how God works, that he blesses you and your children if you obey him, and how he curses you and your children if you disobey him, and he's no respecter of persons. You know, so it makes no difference who you are. And so when I learned that, you know, I thought, wow. I stood in awe when I think about the kind of things the Lord has showed me. In fact, at Baltimore, when we were teaching at Baltimore, I was telling a story about a little girl that was in Cook's Medical Center when I was there. And I said, you know, the girl was screaming and crying and everything. She's coming running down the hallway, and somebody stopped her and asked her, I said, what is wrong with you? And she said, they just called me and told me that my six-year-old son had just got shot in the back in the park, and he's not expected to live. And so she was screaming, and somebody told her, said, you need to have this man pray for you. When he prays, God hears his prayers. And so she said, sir, will you pray for my baby? And I said, yes, ma'am, I'll be happy to pray for your baby, but there's some things I have to know about you first before I pray. And she says, like what? I said, well, the first thing I want to know, are you a Christian? Somebody said, what difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world. If you're a Christian, you're a member of the covenant. You got a better, whole lot better chance to get healed, or your children, if you're a member of this covenant that God made. If you're his born again children. She said, yes, I am. I said, now then I need to know, are you an obedient daughter? Are you going to church? And see, that's something that lots of Christians don't do. They call themselves Christians, but they don't go to church except once in a great while. You know, maybe on Christmas and Easter, you know, we need a little fire insurance, so we'll go on Christmas and Easter. But that don't work. So I told her, I said, you know, do you go to church? She said, well, some, but not a whole lot, but I do go to church some. And then I said, and I see you're pregnant. And she said, so what does that have to do with my son in there? I said, well, maybe nothing and maybe everything. She said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, as a member of the kingdom, I said, Jesus told you and me to have no sex before marriage. Is that what he said? When he says no sex, what do you think he meant? No, he didn't mean just a little once in a while. When he said no, he meant no. What do we not understand about no? And so I said, is that baby in your womb? Was he conceived in wedlock or out of wedlock? She said, well, I'm living with the man I'm not married to. I said, well, that's why the six-year-old that was in the park, that's why he got shot in the back, because God is judging you for what you've done illegal in his kingdom. And there was a pastor sitting over there, and he held his hand up, and I said, what do you need? He said, you mean you actually said those things? I said, yes. He said, how in the world can you make a statement like that? I said, sir, I know my God. I know my God, and I know how he works. And so I said, I know what his word says, and he'll do exactly what his word said. So he said, I never heard of a man that make a statement like that, that that child was shot because the mother was having sex with a man she wasn't married to. He said, I never heard of such a thing. I want everybody to look at Hebrews 13:4. Think about this. In the book of Hebrews, he's talking to the church. Is that right? I want to give you all time to look it up, or we're going to pull it up on the board. What does that say? This young lady here that's got her Bible out, tell me what that says.
Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery.
Did we all hear that? Do you think he was just writing to put words between the pages when he wrote that? You think he was trying to tell us something?
Absolutely.
If God says there that marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled. So is there anything wrong with sex between a man and woman that's married? No, it's normal. That's God's wedding present to you. I mean, you're supposed to enjoy that. He made it. And anything God makes is good, is it not?
Amen.
Sure, but he has rules as to the way it should be used. So he says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the whoremonger and the adulterer is going to be judged. Is that the way that reads? So do we have anybody in the church today that's sleeping around with people they're not married to? What? You really mean there's anybody that can be that dumb? I can't believe it. But that would be just like down here on the freeway. If I'm a Christian and God tells me to obey the laws of the land. Did he say that?
Yes.
Romans 13. We are supposed to obey the laws of the land. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, if we're Christians and our king told us to obey the laws of the land, there would not ever be a Christian that would look up and see a sign that says 70 miles an hour, speed limit. You would never, ever, ever, ever have to even worry about a Christian ever getting stopped because Christians would never break the rules, right? We would never break the rules. Are you trying to tell me there's none of y'all ever break the rules? I got a feeling some of you just broke another rule. The one where God says, I hate liars. Some of you speed, and you're a Christian. But are we supposed to? No, we're not supposed to. Now then, we are the ones that holler the loudest when we get stopped. You get stopped and they give you a ticket, and especially if you was in a school zone. When you get to church, I can't believe that stupid cop stopped me. I wasn't driving but 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. I can't believe he stopped me. Yeah, he stopped you because you were breaking the law. Now then, many times we get by with sin as Christians in the world. But the spiritual laws, like this is a spiritual law. You don't ever get by with that one. Just like this girl. People have no idea that this is the way the system works. But I told that girl, I said, is that child in your womb conceived in or out of wedlock? And she said, well, I'm living with a man. So she's conceived out of wedlock. So has she broken the rules? Yeah. And so God says, the adulterer will be judged. Is that what he said? But you're my favorite. I would never judge you. He don't have favors, does he?
No,
he don't have favors. And I am really glad God doesn't have favorites, that we've got to treat every one of us exactly the same. Whether you be red, yellow, black, or white, you know, don't make no difference who you are. He treats every one of us the same. So if his rules are the same for everybody, and I know what the scripture says. I know he says he will judge. So when I look at that little girl and she tells me, I said, well, honey, you've only got one hope. She said, what's that? I said, you have got to repent and tell God you're sorry that what you've done is wrong, and that you will have to make him a promise that you will never, ever, ever go to bed with another man until you're married to him. And you'll have to make sure that the man that you're sleeping with right now, when you go home tonight, you do not crawl back in bed with that guy. You're going to have to make sure. She said, what, I'm living with him. What if I do? I said, then I'm going to guarantee you your son's going to die. I'm going to guarantee you that boy, that six-year-old boy that's in there with a bullet in his back, he's going to die. You're being judged. She said, well, what if I make God a promise that I won't ever do it? I said, then I will guarantee you when I pray for that boy, he'll live. And that's when that other pastor said, I can't believe that you can guarantee these things. He said, I don't understand how you can be so bold with the Word of God. I said, sir, the reason I can be bold with the Word of God, I know God means what he says. I know he means what he says, and he'll do exactly what he said. And that scripture, did he say he might judge you? He said he will judge you. Is that right? So anyway, she repented. She said, what do I need to do? I said, fall on your knees right here in front of all these people. This will prove to me and to God that you're serious, sincere. I said, fall right there and raise your hands up and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent for my sin of adultery. And I will never commit adultery again. I said, and you better be telling him the truth, because if you're not, I said, that boy later will die. You got to tell God the truth. He don't listen to this flippant speech. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to know you're sincere. So she did. She said, Lord, I repent. I promise you I will never go to bed with another man if I'm not married to him. I promise you. I said, okay, get up. So I went over and took her by the hand and raised her up, and I said, take me to where your son is. And so we went in, and we found the room where the boy was, and that nurse sitting there at the head of the bed. I said, is this boy going to live or die? And she said, sir, I can't tell you anything. I said, well, okay, so you don't have to tell me anything. Just nod your head. Yes or no. Is he going to live? She says, I said, okay, that's all I needed to know. I walked around to the head of the bed and put my fingers right there, and I quoted Mark 16, 17, and 18. Mark 16, 17, and 18 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. And then down to the bottom it says, and you shall lay hands on the sick. And it says, and they shall recover. Not maybe, said they shall. So why does it not work for lots of people? Because we don't believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. And so I rebuked the enemy, commanded him to leave. And then I said, Father, I've got both hands on his head, on his body. I said, now then, according to Mark 16, 17, and 18, he is delivered from the devil and he's healed. I said, it's done. I turned to the young lady and said, guarantee this boy will live. Guarantee it. Because God made you the promise. Now, when God says I got to do everything I do in total faith, what if I'd have said, you know, ma'am, I'm not sure what he'll do, but I prayed and I hope that he'll be merciful. What would have happened to that boy? He would have died. That's exactly right. He would have died because I didn't do nothing in faith. But when you do it in faith. So anyway, that little boy, he got well. In fact, we had an ambulance driver here a while back. Oh, he was here yesterday too? Oh, okay, praise the Lord. I didn't see him, but he was here yesterday. He said, I was the one that went on the 911 call for that boy. And he said, I went and picked that boy up and said, when I took him to the hospital where he was shot and the way he was bleeding and everything else, I thought, there ain't no way this kid's going to make it. It's over. So he said a week later, whatever it was, I went to the hospital and I thought, well, I'll just see if the boy's still here. So I asked one of the nurses, did they know where so-and-so was? And they said, oh yeah, he's up in the recovery room. He said, what? He's up in the recovery room. So he said, I went up there and I walked in and here's the boy. He's laying there and said, I walked in and I said, son, how are you doing? He said, sir, when I woke up, you know what the first thing I heard? What? He said, behold, I give unto you power to cast out demons and heal the sick. Where did he hear that? It was me. I was speaking those words. When I spoke those words, God healed him right there that quick, even to the point that he could receive and hear what I had done. And of course, a day or two later, I was down at the cafeteria at Cook's Medical Center having a sandwich or something. And there was a black lady. This little boy was a little black boy. Didn't make any difference what color we are. God, he loves us all. But anyway, this black lady, which I'd never seen her before in my life, she walked up to my table and she said, are you Thurman Scrivener? I looked up at her and I said, yes, ma'am. And she says, would you stand up? And I thought, well, ma'am, I'm eating my sandwich, but I guess so. So I laid my sandwich down in my plate and I stood up. And just as I got stood up, she just almost tackled me. She just put her arms around me and kissed me on the cheek and squeezed me. And she said, that's my grandson up there that you prayed for. And he's going home in a couple of days. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. I tell you, those grandmothers, they can love you when you get their kids healed. Don't you love the Word of God? It is so awesome. Now then, I want to show you in the Scriptures where we're going to go. We're going to talk about the power that's available to us if we will only obey the Word. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to just meditate on that just a second. A servant and an apostle of Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Wow, what kind of faith did Peter have? What kind of faith did he have when he was in the garden when they come to try to get the Lord, when they took the Lord, when that little woman walked up and said, I know who you are. You're a Galilean. You're one of those. Oh, yeah, sure, I'm one of them. I'm one of Jesus' boys. Oh, he didn't do that, did he? What did he do? He denied. Woman, I don't know him. And then finally, the third one that come, he's cursed and says, woman, I don't know him. Get away from me. And all of a sudden, he heard the rooster crow. And he looked and there was the Lord, bowed down, looking straight at him. What if you'd have been one of those in Oregon last week, week before last? Are you a Christian? Yeah, you better think about that, because you never know when that day may come a reality with what's going on in the world today. If you don't know the Scripture, if you don't know the promises of God, you better start hiding them in your heart. If you're sinning at all, you better stop it and start walking holy before God. Like, for instance, I was watching a deal on the news the other night, and the guy was talking about he was a Christian, but yet his girlfriend had gotten shot. And as we get on into the news a little bit, the lady asked something. He said, oh, yeah, me and her have been living together for the last 6 months. I thought, there's your problem. There's your problem. They're living together and they call themselves Christians, and she just got shot. What did that say a while ago about adultery? Might be judged. Now, that's kind of tough, isn't it? But if God said it, you can take it to the bank. You know, if we learn these principles, you know what it should make us do? We should be so conscious of sin. Lord, I don't want to sin. I don't want no kind of sin. I'm a son or daughter of the King of the universe, and I'm going to act like it. In other words, if I'm a son of God, which I am, and you are a daughter or son of God, should we not act like sons of God? Should we not walk holding our head high saying, I know the Master. God the Father is my God. He's my daddy. And Jesus is my brother. And so I don't sin because in my kingdom, I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to righteousness. I'm dead to sin. Are you dead to sin?
Yes.
Amen. If you're not, you need to work on it. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Christ. Just like Dave and Jeff both talked about yesterday, the righteousness of God in Christ. They've really worked on that. And when you realize you are the righteousness of God in Christ, when you realize that, when you get a hold of that, and you have a covenant with Him, and when He looks at, when you pray and say, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, when you do, the Father says, oh, who's calling? And He looks, and there's Thurman on his knees, or whoever it is, one of us, and we're on our knees, or we're standing up with our hands raised and everything. And when He looks at us, who does God the Father see? So we want to act like Jesus, right?
Amen.
Because if He's going to see Jesus when He looks at us, we want to be clean and pure, holy, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we don't want no sin in our life at all because we want to honor our King. We don't want to be stupid. You know, we don't want to do crazy things. We want to be clean and pure and holy. So when we call, when we say, Lord, I want to worship You, I want to praise You, you know, if you want to get the Lord to do something for you, you make sure that you're in that Word, you know, you're studying that Word, you're praising Him, giving Him glory and honor. And as you do, I mean, that's when He'll look and you start calling, He'll look and He'll see Jesus standing there. Really, it's you praying and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory that He's seeing. And so when you ask for something, He says, sure, all My promises are yes and amen. Every time My promises are yes and amen. So sure, no problem. You want to pray for this guy or this woman, whatever. You know, I mean, Scott, he prays for people all the time. Every time he comes to church, first thing we do, I stop shaking. I said, well, what did the Lord do in your life this week? Well, let me see. Let me tell you about this one and this one and this one. I said, wow, what a problem to have. But you have that problem, Scott.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And when Scott does that, he knows he wants to walk holy before God. You know, you won't ever hear no foul words coming out of his mouth. He don't talk like that. Just like Dave said yesterday, you know, he said, Pastor Thurman, one time he realized he was working in a Chevrolet house and the guys all talk kind of bad. And so he kind of picked up on some of their bad stuff. And so he realized as a Christian that every time he'd say something bad or a foul word or whatever, you know, that the Holy Spirit would convict him. This doesn't glorify Me. And so I said, okay, Lord, this year, coming up on New Year's, we're getting close. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to promise You, Lord, I ain't never going to do this again. You see anything wrong with this picture? Who is that? You hear the eyes in that? Lord, I will never do that again. And then I told Him I wouldn't. And the New Year's came, and I went right on into the next year, and bam, bam, bam. And I sinned, and I spoke. I thought, what is wrong with this? And then I thought, okay, Lord, obviously I can't get this done. I need some help. So, Lord, is that right, Mary? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, girl? We all need help, right? And so I said, Lord, I got to have some help. I'm going to ask You to fix my problem because it's obvious I can't fix it. I picked up these bad habits. I got these bad, foul words, and I don't want them. I don't want that sin that's in me to come out. Lord, I want it fixed, and I can't fix it. So I'm calling on You to deliver me from that, and I know You will, and I thank You that I never speak another word of profanity in my life. It's done in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. And He fixed it. That year, I didn't have to worry about it. He just took it. You know, I mean, every time something tried to come up in me, the Holy Spirit, slap it down. No, you know that's not going to come out of your mouth. I don't swear. I don't do those things. I mean, Jesus took it away and fixed it. But, you know, when I tried to do it, I couldn't get it done. But with Jesus, I can get it done. You know, in fact, One day I was going down to, they had just opened to George Bush, and I had a Christian deacon with me in the car. I'm driving, and we were talking, and we're driving along there, and all of a sudden, I realized that that's the George Bush, that's where I'm supposed to take it, and there wasn't near as much traffic as there is today. So I looked and turned the car at the same time. You ever done that? You know you missed it, and of course you're looking, but you're turning. And of course, when I looked and turned, there's a guy on his horn. You idiot! You're gonna, you know. I know what he was saying because I used to be there myself. He was calling me every name in the book. And of course, I whipped back right quick. And of course, out of all of this, the deacon that's sitting here, he's this close to the guy, and he said, "GD," and when he did, when I got pulled over and he went back on and I pulled back and I said, "Sir, I really think you ought to repent and tell God how sorry." I said, "What if we had got killed there? Can you imagine that would have been the last words you spoke on earth?" I said, "I don't think the master would have been too happy with that." He said, "You're absolutely right, Thurman." He said, I've tried and tried to get rid of those foul words, but I just can't do it." I said, I've been through that. I know how to get through. I said, "If you'll call on the name of the Lord and ask him to deliver you, he will take that out of your life and you won't have to worry about it no more." So see, did he put all that together to do something? He did. Because Tony, if we had never had that experience, that man might have never got delivered from that in his whole life. But because it all happened like it did, and I'd already been through it and found out I can't do it on my own, I got to have God's help. He give each one of us all these things we need. And he's trying to tell us here in 2 Peter, he says, "To all those that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, when you get a hold of the fact that you are righteous, and it's Romans and other places in the scriptures, and Corinthians talks in depth about the righteousness of God in Christ that we really are. But you have to go over that. The average person doesn't get it. You know, I mean, I've asked that question in numerous churches. It says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I said, how many of you men in here know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I asked you to pray for Brother Bob or John or Jack or Susie or whatever that's on their deathbed, you could guarantee me that they would get healed? How many of you in this room could do that? And almost nobody holds up their hand. Almost nobody. I said, you need to learn who you are. You need to learn that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Not because of what you've done, because of what Jesus did. When he looks at me and he looks at Tony sitting right there, who does he see, Tony? He sees Jesus Christ instead of you and me, right? And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. Because if he was seeing me, I'm in trouble. You know it? But praise God. When you get a hold of the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you are the righteousness of God, and you can come to the Father, and of course, if you start to pray for somebody that you don't know anything about their life, you know, but the one thing that you know and you've learned after you've dealt with God for several years, if they're laying there dying, there is a sin in their life that needs to be repented of. If they've got this sickness, there is a sin. Now, let me just throw this out. What do you think the worst sin in the church is today? Absolutely. Unbelief. I mean, somebody says murder or abortion. No. The worst sin in the church today is unbelief of the promises of God. I mean, here we got a couple maybe that's gone through life and they've walked holy before God. They've been to church. They've tithed all their life. They've done everything right. I mean, they really walked with God. And when they come down with something, they can't seem to get healed. And you pray over them and they pray and they plead with God. And I'll tell you, I learned a great lesson last time going to Norway with Cheryl. When she was having trouble with her stomach. Just to tell you how all this works. She was getting everything together. And you know how it is. You know, when you're getting ready to take a 10-day trip halfway around the world, you know, you can't wait till you're 4 hours out and think, oh my gosh, I forgot to put in the hair oil. You know, what am I going to do? You can't go back and get it. You know, so, I mean, she's trying to put everything together, Lord. She's making her list, checking it 3 times, kind of like she does these Christmas lists. I mean, you know, she's checking every list, and I got everything. Did you get this? Did you get that? Yeah, I got that. Did you get your outline? Did you do this? And she's just uptight. And so her bowels are not working real good. You know, why is it that things like that, you know, you never need to go to the bathroom until you get uptight and then your kidneys are working all the time and you got to stop every 30 minutes to go to the bathroom when yesterday I was at peace and comfort and had no problem praying for people. I went to the bathroom at 12 o'clock, got up here and preached. I listened to two other guys teach and then preached the Word of God myself until 5:30 and then prayed for people till 9:30 and I never left this spot right here for 9 hours. And I didn't even feel like I needed to go to the bathroom after the 9 hours. Y'all know what I mean? Well, anyway, she was having that kind of a problem. And of course, every time she had to go to the bathroom, she'd slap me on the back and say, honey, pray for me, pray for me, I pray for me. And so I'd pray for her and everything. And so we're on climb out, going out, we're way out on that airplane and we're going up to 40,000 feet or whatever. And she has to get up and that seatbelt sign's still on and everything. She says, I gotta go to the bathroom. And she walks by me and says, honey, she taps me on the leg, pray for me. Well, every time she said, pray for me, do you think I prayed for her?
Yes.
But this time I'm not praying. I'm saying, oh God, please, Lord. Please, Lord, I don't want to go all the way to Norway with this kind of a situation with my wife. I don't want to have to, Lord, will you please do something with my wife? And he spoke to me so clear. He said, son, you need to do something in faith. I am not a begging God. I don't answer prayers of begging. I only answer prayers of faith. And you need to pray something in faith according to my word. Then I will heal your wife's bowels. Man, I repented. I jumped up in that seat. And when I heard him say that, I said, Lord, I repent. I repent. I will never pray another prayer of unbelief, or I'll try my best not to. Lord, I won't beg no more. It says in John 14:13-14, I can ask the Father in Jesus' name for anything, Father, and you'll do it for me. So, Father, fix my wife's bowels. It's done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, is that the way to get it done?
Yeah.
That's the way to get it done. So Cheryl come back from the bathroom in a minute. She swung in, and as she did, she said, honey, pray for me. I swatted her on the backside as she went by. Whap! I said, I prayed for you, woman, and I guarantee you're healed this time. 2 hours later, she ain't gone again. 3 hours later, she still hadn't gone again. Her bowels work perfect, about every 3 or 4 hours, like normal. All the way to Norway, never had another problem. But I had to learn I can't pray begging. How many of us pray begging? Especially when we get old or whatever, or we get to really hurting. Oh, God, please, Lord, would you heal me? He says, I don't hear you quoting any scripture. I don't hear any faith in what you're doing. You're just begging. I'm not a begging God. I've given you everything you need. All you need to do it in faith. And he answers, doesn't he? So you don't beg God. He's ready to heal you. He wants to heal you. But don't come to him begging, because if you come to him begging, you'll get the same thing I did. Nothing. Didn't get nothing. But boy, when I finally prayed in faith, I quoted the word. Lord, you said. In fact, John 14:13-14, it's an awesome verse. In fact, let's put it up on the board and then come back to here where we are in 2 Peter. Verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you notice there, he put that in both verses for the benefit of both the men and the women. The women only need the first verse. They get it the first time. But the men, we're kind of hard-headed. You know, we don't get it the first time. We have to be told at least twice. You know, if you don't believe that, everywhere you go in the Word, he'll say, Saul, Saul, Paul, Paul. He always calls the name twice because he knows they ain't going to get it the first time. That's when God's the one did this. Now, he's the one that burned the link in two from your right brain to your left brain if you're a man. When you were like 24 weeks in the womb, he created a little chemical process that burns in two the link between the right and left brain in every man so that you can't communicate right and left brain instantly. You know, you have to think things over. In fact, last night I went to bed thinking about something, and my wife's telling me all kinds of things I need to do. And I ain't answering or nothing. I'm just laying there. I finally give her time to go to sleep, and then I said, okay, Lord, I thank you for my answer, whatever it is. Well, about 2 or 3 hours later, I woke up with my answer. I said, thank you, Lord. See, it took him that long to get through to me for hours. But see, if that had been one of you women, if he'd have been trying to communicate with you, he could have got through with you just that quick. because the right and left brain communicates instantly in women. It don't do that with men. So you girls need to, if you come in and you think you've got the answer, and man, you're trying to tell it to your husband, just be cool. Back off and let God have it. He'll get it done, and he don't need your help. He really don't need your help. I know some of you girls think he can't do nothing without y'all, but let me tell you, I got news for you. He is very good at when he's talking to y'all, he knows how to talk to y'all instantly, and he gets your attention. But when he's got something for your husband, give God time to get through to him, because it takes longer for God to get through to us men than it does the women. And that's just the way he made us. I don't understand why he did that, but I'm not God, and so I don't understand a lot of things, but I do know some things, and I know that's the way he works. And so I know if I give him time and I meditate on it a while, that it will happen. Now let's go back to 2 Peter 1, where we were. Was that an awesome promise in John 14, 13, and 14? So see, we should learn that, and we should use that anytime we need it. That's good for both men and women. If you go to the Lord and you need a prayer answered, make sure, first of all, that you've repented of all your sin. Make sure you have no known sin in your life. God hates sin, and he says sin separates you from him. And so if you go to him, make sure that you have confessed every sin. And I might tell you, I don't care how little it is. In fact, God said in his word, husbands, love your wives like I love the church and gave my life for the church. Now, if you don't love your wife like that, then I will not answer your prayer. How many of you men know that scripture? Husbands, love your wives. He really meant that, didn't he? Now, if God don't hear my prayer, Mary, am I in trouble? For sure, Cheryl's in trouble. When she comes to me and wants me to pray for her and I don't get an answer, she's in pain and she don't like that. And you wouldn't like it either, would you? No, we want our husbands, we want the men to be tuned into God, so when they pray for us, we get an answer right now. Is that the best way? Every woman loves that. Well, just so you'll know that God also made a statement to the women. He said, wives, you are to submit or obey your husband in all things. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. How difficult is it for a woman to submit? Who said that? It is. I don't know why that is, but it is so hard for us to love you like Christ loved the church too. But when you learn if you don't, God ain't going to answer your prayer. It makes it a lot easier, I will have to say. When he says, wives, you must submit or obey your husband in everything. Now then, he said that, but he didn't tell you what the consequence would be. He just told you to do it. Well, I know that there is a consequence. I know that anytime we don't line up with Scripture, I know anytime we break a rule, there is a consequence. Do you know that? Yeah. He does say in Hebrews 1 and 2 that every act of disobedience to the law is punished. Every act. So you don't get away with nothing, do you? Some of you ladies hadn't heard this. Cheryl told me I need to tell this once in a while so that you ladies will hear this and it'll save you some problems. Because the other night she come home from her daughter's house and they'd been out to dinner and her daughter had, which is a beautiful girl. Chrissy's 47 years old and she's gorgeous. I mean, you know, my land, she's beautiful. As far as I'm concerned, she's got smooth, beautiful, perfect skin all over. But you know how we are, girls especially. You know, she had a couple little bitty tiny wrinkles right here on her cheeks. You know, I mean, you couldn't see it, you know, if you got with a magnifying glass, okay, a little bitty teeny tiny thing there, okay. No, it's about that bad. But she wants that to be beautiful and gorgeous. She wants to be, you know, I don't understand why all you women want to be so beautiful. You don't have to be that beautiful. She went over there and saw her daughter, and her daughter said, Mama, Monday I'm going to go have a little filler put in my cheeks right here to make these little wrinkles out. So Cheryl come home and said, honey, Chrissy's going to go over Monday afternoon to have a little filler put in her cheeks. She said, my bottom lip bleeds my lipstick a little, so I want to have a little of that filler put in my bottom lip. And I said, absolutely not. No. She said, but honey, Joyce Myers had it done, and Kenneth Copeland's wife had it done. Does that sound like a woman? Sure. But I said, honey, I'm not married to those girls. And so I said, I'm only interested in you. You're my girl. And I don't know what might happen. You know, that material is some kind of foreign material. And 5 or 10 years, I said, it might do something and I might not like it. You know, I said, it might turn really hard or something. And when I give you a kiss, I'm kissing a hard knot down there, you know, instead of a nice smooth lip. So no, 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 I don't want you to have this done. But honey, and when she did this time, when she come back, said, but honey, I want to have it done. All of a sudden, her center right toe pulled down and went sideways. I mean, and she started screaming, honey, pray for me. She kicked her shoe off. Pray for me. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, this really did happen in my office just a few weeks ago. I'm telling you the absolute truth. Am I not, honey? Okay, I'm confirmation from my wife that I'm telling you the absolute truth. And so whenever her, I saw this and her toes all bent down, I thought, my, what a cramp. I've never seen a toe turn like So anyway, I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm praying for my wife. I'm asking you to take away that cramp in her toe. And I said, thank you, Lord. And it got worse. And Cheryl screamed, oh, honey, it's terrible. And so now I'm thinking it's the devil, which it probably was. But I jumped down there and I grabbed her foot and I said, you devil of hell. Now I'm in my office screaming at the top of my lungs. You devil of hell, get your hands off of my wife. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get your hands off my wife. And her toes all pulled over sideways. And as I'm looking at this, and then I hear the Lord say, son, he's just as calm and peaceful through this whole thing. He said, son, the reason this is happening to your wife is because she's not submitting to your authority. I reached over and grabbed her by the arm and said, honey, don't take an offense, please. But the Lord just told me that the reason this is happening to you is because you're not obeying me. And she said, Lord, I repent. I will obey my husband. And guess what happened to her toe? Instantly, the toe was completely healed and relaxed. I mean, it. Whenever that happened, Cheryl said, honey, you got to tell the church this. They've got to hear this. The women have got to know. She said, it's so difficult for us to do what God told us to do as women. And when we get sideways with our husband, and then we don't understand when our children go bad or go wrong or get sick or we get sick or we have these kind of pains, we have no idea what God's doing. He's judging us for our disobedience. Somebody says, you know, God would never do anything like that. Hey, let me tell you, He will. He will do this. But now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the minute that Cheryl said, Lord, I repent, I will obey my husband. Her toe was completely back to normal in one heartbeat. Now then, what if we had both not been tuned in to the Lord and listening to His voice? She might have went through this thing for 30 minutes. Who knows how long she might have suffered, but she was screaming, my toe is killing me, honey, do something. Well, I was trying. But you know, this story, some of you may think that I'm crazy, but I guarantee this story I just told you is a real, true story that happened in my office just a few weeks ago. Did it not, honey bunny?
It did.
It did, okay. Yeah, she remembers, I guarantee. And you know what this will do for us? First time as a man, you try to pray for something and you don't get your answer. And you're praying and praying and praying, and you don't get no answer to prayer or nothing. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, what did I do? Or what did this person do? And you know, I used to always ask this question to the Lord when somebody didn't get healed. Lord, what did I do wrong? Because I usually figured it was always my fault. What did I do wrong? Now, most of the time, He will tell me that you didn't do anything wrong. It was so-and-so's fault. And he didn't obey my rules. Actually, I prayed for a man that was dying with brain tumors. And as I prayed for him, I don't think I ever prayed for one man as much as I prayed for this one guy. I prayed all day. And at that time, I'd never prayed all day for any single person. But this man, I did. And on Monday and on Thursday, they called me and said he died. I went to his funeral on Sunday. He was 55 years old. And on the way back from the funeral, I'm by myself. I'm driving along, and I said, Father, I've got to know what I did wrong that caused this man to die. I said, Lord, I used your word. I used many of your scriptures. I used many of the scriptures. I've used one or two and seen somebody else get healed. So I got to know what I did wrong, why this man didn't get healed, why he died. You know, most of us never even think about asking God what we did wrong. Just like Jeremiah 33:3 says, and if you go to the Lord and say, Lord, you said in your word in Jeremiah 33:3, to call unto you and you will answer me and show me great and mighty things I know not. You also said that in Psalm 91:15. So, Lord, there's two verses that says, I can call unto you and you will show me things I do not know. So Psalms 91:15 and Jeremiah 33:3. And so this man, this particular man, I'd ask him, Lord, why did this man die? And Lord, thank you for the answer. Did he say do everything with thanksgiving?
Yes.
So every time you ask him, say, Lord, thank you for my answer. Well, about 3 hours later, I've asked him no telling how many times, and about 3 hours later, he spoke to me. He said, son, you didn't do anything wrong. But he said, you will find your answer to his problem in John 15:2. Well, at that time, I didn't have John 15:2 committed to memory. But I want you to see what John 15:2 says. Now, before I turn around and read that or quote that verse, I want you to know that when I walked into the room where he was, I met a woman. And I asked her, I said, who are you? And she said, well, I'm his wife. I said, oh, I knew his first two wives, but I said, are you the third wife? And she said, yes, I'm the third wife. I said, have you ever been married before? She says, no, I have never been married before. I said, okay. I said, well, he's a good man. She said, oh, yeah, he's a good man. I really loved him. I said, where do y'all go to church? She said, the First Baptist Church. And I said, oh, okay. I said, how many times have you been? Now, why would you ask stupid questions like this? Why would you ask questions like this? The Lord's, you're being led by the Spirit. So the Lord's prompting me for information. I don't know what he's doing, but I said, how many times have you been? She said, oh, we've only been 5 or 6 times. I said, 5 or 6 times? I said, ma'am, I can't believe, you know, that y'all have only been to church 5 or 6 times this year. And it was like 6 months into the year. She said, oh, no, Thurman, we've only been to church 5 or 6 times in the 10 years we've been married. I said, ma'am, the Word of God says, forsake not the gathering of yourself together on a regular basis as a manner of some is, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. I said, you need to be in church. You see, I don't believe we have to go to church to serve God. She did. The woman told me that. I don't believe you have to go to church to serve God. I said, ma'am, the Word says we are to forsake not the gathering of ourselves together. We're to go to church. We're to meet people in the church. We're to talk to them. We're to love them. We're to experience things in church with God's people. We're to be in church. No, I don't believe that. I don't want to go to church. I don't have to go to church to praise God. So I said, okay. So I quit talking to her and prayed over him for the next 4 or 5 hours. And then he died and we buried him. And on the way home, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did he die? He said, son, you'll find your answer in John 15:2. And John 15:2, is it on the board?
Yes.
What's the first word?
Every
branch in me that bears no fruit, I do what?
Take it away.
Wow. Now, I had read that verse many a time as a Baptist, but it never meant what it meant right now. Every branch in me that produces no fruit for me, I cut it off. I kill it. I don't need it. Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Woo! Now, somebody said, you know, God would never kill us. That happens to not be in the Old Testament either, is it? That happens to be in the New Testament. But does it say ever? Does that leave out anybody?
No.
If he says every branch, that includes you? So see, you ought to sure be making him cakes and selling them for the kingdom of God. You see what I mean? But you're bearing fruit. That's what I'm saying. I mean, so, you girls, when you make those cakes, you're bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Is that true?
Yes,
that's what she's doing. And she has no problem making those cakes and selling them and giving the money to the kingdom, to these children. She's producing fruit. You know, I don't know what kind of fruit you may have to produce, but I guarantee God does not expect you to sit around and watch television and do nothing. If you're a child of the King, he expects you to be out there producing fruit for his kingdom, does he not? He may not send you into the world like he has Scott. He may not send you out there to, oh, I see you're not feeling well today, ma'am. Can I pray for you? Can I just touch you in the name of Jesus? Well, I guess so. Do you go to church? Well, a little. But you know, Jesus said, if I touch you in his name, he'll heal you. It does? Yes, in Jesus' name be healed. And he takes his hand off and says, what about your pain? She says, my God, the pain's gone.
Amen.
The pain's gone. He does this all the time. Is he producing fruit for the kingdom?
Yes.
Absolutely producing fruit for the kingdom. Now then, making cakes, is she producing fruit for the kingdom?
Yes.
Yes. See, you don't have to be a devil cruncher to produce fruit for the kingdom. You may never cast out a devil in your life and still be a fruit bearer, right? Now, God knows who you are, and he knows how he's trained you, and he's trained you to do a certain thing, but he expects every one of us to be doing something for his kingdom. What if we don't? Oh, he starts nibbling at you, and he starts bringing forth death. I don't like that, do you? I ain't ready to die yet. I want to be satisfied with a long, healthy life, don't you? Yeah, praise God. When I looked at that and I saw that and I said, Lord, you killed him. Who's that say killed him? It says the Lord. Didn't say the devil did that, did it? That's what's so scary about this whole thing. You know, the devil, he's in, I mean, God's got him under his thumb, you know. I mean, the devil, he does only what God tells him to do. You don't have to worry about the devil. There's only one you need to be afraid of. And that's the Lord. Yeah, that's right. And so anyway, when I saw this and I couldn't believe my eyes, I thought, how many times have I read that? And I never, ever got this revelation that it means what it says. Every branch, but that's what it says, isn't it? Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. So I said, Lord, it wasn't his fault. It was the woman. Why did you kill him? Why didn't you kill her? She's the one that caused it all. He said, son, I didn't put the woman in charge of the home. I put the man in charge of the home, and he did not obey my rules. So in other words, you girls can be thankful you're off the hook. You know, God's going to hold us more accountable over the home than anyone else. That ought to make every man tremble that calls himself a Christian. Every man should tremble to think, Lord, am I doing something for your kingdom? And I'm glad he's merciful, aren't you? I'm so glad he's merciful because I know what his word says. And he does say that every branch that produces no fruit, he will cut you off. And what he usually does, like this man had the brain tumors, he began to put different sicknesses upon him. And he began to feel worse and worse and worse. And it took probably 2 years at least, 2 or 3 years, God was disciplining him, trying. He was putting sickness on this man. He was doing all kinds of things. He was probably talking to him. He didn't even hear him. And he was not listening. And so finally, after 10 years, he just said, that's it. He's not producing fruit. He's not listening to my voice. I just cut him off. So at 55 years old, he goes home. Is that God's best for you? No, absolutely not. God expects you and me to live out a long, perfect, healthy, wonderful life producing fruit for the kingdom. And if he wasn't merciful and patient and kind, you know, I'll just have to tell you, I'm not near as patient as God is. You know, if I'm running a company, and I used to do that, I used to run a big corporation, and I had many, many men working for me, and if a man didn't produce, or if he kept coming in late, if I'd tell him, hey, I want you here at 8 o'clock in the morning. I got things we got to do tomorrow. And so he was tired. He couldn't get up. So he finally drug in at 9 o'clock. Okay, we're going to have a little talk here, mister. This is not the way I do business. I don't let people come in at 9 o'clock when I tell them to be here at 8 o'clock when I got a goal to keep. I got things I got to do. I got an airline we got to keep up with. We got things we got to do. I expect you here at 8 o'clock if I tell you to be here at 8 o'clock. Okay, Mr. Scrivener, it'll never happen again. And if it never happens again, guess what? He gets to stay. What if the next time I need him here at 8 o'clock, he shows up at 9 o'clock again? He's history. I don't deal with people like you. You got to be punctual to work for me. I mean, that's when I was in the business world. In fact, I had a VP tell me something one day. He said, Thurman, whenever I took over this region, it was a region I was the regional engineer over. When he took it over, he had about 10 men on his staff, different, and I happened to be the only engineer. But anyway, he said, when I took over, and this was probably 4 or 5 months after he took over, I had never met my new boss, never met him. I mean, I crossed paths with him all over, but never saw him. Didn't even know who he was. I know his name. I could hear his voice. I knew what he sounded like on the phone because I talked to him many times. But one day I finally met him. He said, I'm going to come by DFW Airport, and I want you to meet me at gate so-and-so. I want to talk to you. And I said, okay, good, boss, I'll be there. And so I met him at the airplane, and we went in and sat down in the lobby and talked a little while. And he said, you know, I hate to say this, but when I came into the company as a VP, I was going over all the employees that worked for me with the last VP. And he said, there's one man that works for us. You won't ever have to worry about him, nothing. And that's Thurman Scrivener. You can call him and tell him what you want done. He'll get it done. If you don't have to tell him twice, it'll happen. And he'll get the best prices and everything. He said, that man you can trust. Said, if you need him to be there for 18 hours in a day, he won't ever question. He won't ever fuss. He'll just be there to get the job done. So when you tell him you want something done, if you got a deadline, don't worry. He'll get it done for you. And he said, and they all say that they all give you the maximum increase every year. Isn't that amazing? how it all works. I got the maximum bonuses and benefits and everything, all because I was a punctual person. But the reason I was punctual, because I'd read the scripture. It says, whatever you do, do it as unto me and not unto man. So if I'm going to be doing this as unto the Lord, you're going to be late serving the Lord? I hope not. If he tells you to do something, are you going to do it? I hope so. If not, he might cut you off. So now then, if we obey him and do what he says, how long of a life and a healthy life should he give us? Satisfy us. He said, I will satisfy you with a long life. So if he says he'll satisfy you with a long life, what do you want? 70, 80, 90, 100, 120? What do you want? It all depends on where your faith can take you. Isn't that amazing? Let's go back to 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How are you going to get the knowledge of God in you? Study his word. Just like 2 Timothy. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. So maybe we need to start studying more. You know, if I was sick and afflicted and I was having problems, you know where I would start? The word. Because he says in his word, I sent forth my word. I sent forth my word and healed you. Let's go to the next verse. We go to verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power, now not yours, but according as his divine power has given unto us a few things that we need. He couldn't mean what he said. It's got to be a misprint. According as his divine, what is missing in his divine power? Not nothing, right? According as his divine power, he has given unto us how many things? All things, all the promises, everything that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge. So how are we going to get that again? Study his word. Now, if we're sick and afflicted and we can't get rid of our sickness and we're begging and pleading, we do that a lot, don't we? We beg and plead, but that won't get you healed. That's just like when Dave fought his battle for 20 months and he finally got healed. He came to me and asked, said, Pastor, why did it take so long for me to get healed? I said, Dave, the only one I know knows that's God. I don't know. But I said, if you want to know, you'll just have to petition him and ask him. And I said, he will tell you. And he said, okay, I'm going to start asking. So he started asking, praising the Lord and everything. One day the Lord, when he said, Lord, why did it take so long for me to get healed? 20 months. And the Lord says, Dave, the reason it took so long for you to get healed is because I don't know who you are. Now, this guy goes to church every Sunday. He goes sometimes two times a day on Sunday. He goes to church on Wednesday. He tithes. He said, Lord, I go to church every time the doors open, I tithe. He said, oh, I know that, Dave. I go with you every time you go. I know everything you do. But he said, you don't know me. He said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, Dave, you may spend 15 minutes a week in my word. Well, anybody ought to know that 15 minutes a week ought to be plenty to study God's word. Oh, you don't agree with that? Do you don't agree with that? The Lord didn't agree with that either. So he said, Lord, how much time should I spend in your word? And he said, you know, son, a tithe would be a good place to start. Just 10%. 2 or 3 hours a day would be okay. 2 or 3 hours a day in your word? Lord, what if I'd been studying 2 or 3 hours a day when I started this? What would have happened? He said, your healing would have been very quickly, very speedily. So if God told Dave if he needed to spend more time in the Word, and here he is, a man going to church, tithing and everything else, and the reason he couldn't get healed so quick is because he didn't know who he was and he needed to be in the Word. If you're sick and afflicted, not getting your answer, where do you think your answer lies? In the Word. You know what? Spend time in the Word. Study God's Word. How can we sit in front of a football game? And you know, it's coming up, the football season. You all know that? Oh, it's already here? Okay. You can tell what I know about football. Okay, so it's already here. Do you know today being Sunday, that's when they usually play. They've got this figured out where you can turn on the TV at 8 o'clock in the morning somewhere, there's a football game. Woo, oh Lord, I'd hate to think what he might do to us if I canceled this church because of a football game. Woo, he might never answer a prayer for me again. I ain't going there, though. We ain't going to do that. I'll tell you what, if every member gets where they stay at home on Sunday to watch football games, I'll still be here preaching the word to Dave and me and Cheryl. you can be assured we will not be at the football game. We know what's important, and it's not the football game. It's God and His Word. I love to see Him answer my prayer and to heal His people. I love it. And every one of you that got healed here at this ministry, you love it too, don't you?
Yes,
I guarantee we do. Yeah, so praise the Lord. But anyway, we need to put God first. We need to study His Word. And if I've got a problem and I'm not getting well, then I need to take these promises, all these precious promises. Look, this scripture. When I read this in 2 Peter, I'm just absolutely amazed. According as His divine power, not mine, but God's divine power, has given unto us not some things or a few things, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. So what did He leave out when we became Christians and He gave us all things? What did He leave out? Nothing. But how do you find it? It's all in the Word. You got to go in there and you find that. You find those scriptures like Proverbs. You know, you find scriptures in Proverbs where He says that if you will obey my words and do what I say, those words will bring health to all your flesh and a long life to you. All of a sudden now you can say, Lord, you said right here in Proverbs chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, all these places here, I'm reading all these places where you said, if I call upon you, you will satisfy me with a long life. So He says, what's a long life? What would you like? Well, Lord, I got lots of faith. I want to live to be at least 60. Did you know there's some people that's all the faith they got? Only 60. Just like Jeff said yesterday, he's talking about the tongue and all that. And Dave, life and death is in the power of your tongue. If you only want to live to be 60, guess what? At 60, you die. And people say, I don't understand. He was so healthy. And look at him. He just died at 60. Somebody said, you know, did you know that in 10 years ago or 20 years ago in church, somebody asked him how long he wanted to live? And he said, you know, I want to live to be 60. And said he died at 60. But you know, when he was 40 years old, 60 seemed like it was way over yonder. And all of a sudden he turned around twice one day and he was 60. Is that the way it works? For all of you that are like me that are over 60, how quick did you get from 40 to 60? Ooh, quick. I got so tickled to share one day. This is so funny. I mean, you know, she tries to be young, and she does. She does stay young, I will have to say. But she was talking about some woman. She said, you know, that woman is old. I can't believe that woman. She said, I said, how old is she, honey? She said, that woman is 60. She's old. She said, oh, my God, what am I talking about? I'm older than that myself. But the difference, she don't see herself old. She's a young girl, just like that lady last night when Cheryl took off her high heels after standing up here for 4 or 5 hours. The lady said, I can't believe you stood there in them high heels. Cheryl said, I'm staying young. If you can stand up here for 4 hours in a pair of high heels, you're young, girl. I'm telling you, it's tough. But it all depends on where our faith is. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Think about that. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Those promises to us as His obedient children, how many times are those promises yes? Amen. Scott even knows where that's at. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I guarantee you, I'm going to tell you that the average church that I was a member of, like a Baptist church or a Church of Christ or whatever, they don't have these powerful scriptures hidden in their heart. Most people don't have these scriptures that y'all quoted today in their heart. They just don't do it because they're not taught to you. Is that right? You don't know them, and so you don't have those hidden in your heart. So that's why they don't work for you. You can't receive something by faith that you don't know rightfully belongs to you. But this girl over here, I guarantee she knows she's redeemed from the curse. It's a done deal. She's got that word hidden in her heart. Ain't that true? I'm redeemed from the curse. Just like that guy from Australia. You know, that gentleman from Australia, whenever he called us after seeing us on the Sid Roth show, he had only been down with that sickness in his body since he was 7 years old. 7 years old. And now he's now 45 years old. And I told him what to do and where to go in the scripture. And he went to the Lord and asked the Lord why this sickness came upon him when he was 7. And he said, Thurman, the Lord answered me instantly just like that. He said, the very first time I asked the Lord, why did this sickness, this eczema, come upon me when I was 7 years old. And he said, immediately the Lord says, it came upon you because your daddy committed adultery with a woman next door when you were 7 years of age. Does it say every act of adultery will be judged? And can it come upon your children? Oh, yeah. Many a child is in a hospital today that belonged to a Christian family, sick and afflicted because either mother or daddy done something wrong, committed adultery or something. In fact, Cheryl and I went to North Carolina, yeah. And this boy was in the hospital, not expected to live. And we went there and we talked to the mother and the father. There's got to be a sin in one of y'all's life somewhere. And Cheryl kept getting adultery, adultery, adultery. But everybody swore to us that there was nothing wrong. We prayed over this boy all day long for 8 hours, and God didn't do nothing. Later, the boy died. And after the boy died, we ran into one of the women that knew this couple. It was adultery with a deacon in the church. Yeah, he had deacon in the church. You know, if we really believe this book, if you are a Christian and you're going to a church, if you were the head deacon or if you're just one of the men in the church, I don't care who you were, if you would even think, if a thought came to your mind, I'd like to go to bed with that woman, you ought to slap yourself sideways. Yeah, guaranteed. If you thought for a minute your act of adultery was going to bring sickness and disease either upon your child and lay in a hospital bed for, like that kid was in a hospital for 3 years, to think, sin, what it does. This part the church don't believe. If you obey me, I will bless you and your children. If you disobey me, I will curse you and your children. But thank God for those that know the word that can call upon the Father in faith and see him show up and do great and mighty things. Wow, wow. Praise God, praise God. You know, this Second Peter is something here. According as his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So that means if you're not willing to get in there and study the Word of God, these things can never become a reality in your life. It's only through the knowledge of the Word and through these great and precious promises, and whereby are given unto us exceeding, just think how exceeding, just a few promises that we talked about a while ago. Think about how exceeding these great and precious promises are, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. If something starts going wrong with you when you get older, and that may be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, if something starts going wrong with you, that's just the way the world normally works. So if you see that you're starting to get to where you can't hear as well, can't see as well, let me tell you, don't agree with what you see or hear. Agree with these promises. Lord, I agree with you and your promises that by these great and precious promises, I may be going through my tests, but I believe that I'm going to have perfect, clear, sharp 20/20 vision. I'm coming out on the other side because you said in your word, I could ask for anything in the name of Jesus and you'll do it for me. So just because I start getting down to where I can't see very good, I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to agree that I have perfect eyesight in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm going to agree that I have perfect hearing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm going to agree with you and your word that all things that pertain to life and godliness belong to me. So I'm never going to be sick again. I'm going to walk in divine health. I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to be poor. I'm going to be prosperous. I was just telling a man the other day at the airport, I was out there, and I said, I remember one day when I pulled the 421, that's a big, beautiful twin-engine airplane that the Lord has given us, and I pulled it up to the gas pump, and I was filling it up with gas, and this guy walked out, and he says, whose beautiful airplane is this? And I said, well, this is mine. He said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a preacher. He looked at me and said, I thought preachers had to be broke. I said, no, 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 not this one. I said, I got into the prosperity gospel. You know, so I said, I don't have to be poor. I can be well off. I said, God provided me everything I needed. And I learned it from reading his word. He said, you really own this airplane? I said, oh, yeah, it belongs to the ministry. But I said, yeah, it's mine. I said, and I fly it all over the country. I said, I go everywhere. I said, isn't it beautiful? He said, man, it's gorgeous. And he said, can I look at it? I said, sure, crawl up in there and look around. So he got up in there and he looked around a little while and he got out and he said, man, is this a gorgeous airplane? I can't believe that, you know, that you are so blessed as a preacher. And it was cold that day And about that time, this beautiful woman, this beautiful girl drives the car up out there and parks it and gets out with her full-length, black-sheared, mink coat on and walks right up and hugs my neck and crawls up in the airplane. Guess who that girl was? My wife. And he looked and he said, "Is she your wife?" I said, "Yeah, isn't God good? I got a beautiful woman too." I said, "See, son, you know, just because you're a preacher don't mean you have to be broke and have an ugly woman." I said, "You can be blessed and have a beautiful woman." So he said, "Wow, I've never seen anybody like that." And so then as I was talking about that, I was thinking about this young man. Well, not him, but another one like him that was other. He was fielding a little Cub. That's a little bitty single-engine airplane, little bitty tiny thing. And I walked up there, and he was fielding the airplane, climbing up the ladder, and I see his leg not working real good. And I come over, and I say, "Son, something wrong with your leg?" He said, "Yeah, I was in a car wreck, and it messed my leg up, and they had to put bolts and everything." He said, "I'm in terrible pain, but said, at least I can walk." I said, "Are you a Christian?" "Well, of course." I said, "Do you go to church?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You know, God said in His Word that if two of us on earth agreed about anything we ask Him for, He would do it." Who knows where that's found? Matthew 18:19. Is that what He said, isn't it? I said, "So let me kneel down here and pray for your leg and ask the Lord to turn all the steel back into flesh and bone." And he said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, the God I know, He's the King of the universe, son." I said, "He can do anything. Do we know that?" And so I knelt down right there and put his foot up on the tire of the little airplane and put my hands on his leg and said, "Father, in Jesus' name, according to your promises, I ask you to take away all this boy's pain and turn all the steel in his leg back into flesh and bone. And may you never ever have another pain in the name of Jesus." "Thank you, Lord. It's done." About 2 months later, that young man walked through that door right there. He come up and he says, I said, "Good morning, good afternoon, son. How are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing good." I said, "What's your name?" And he told me, and he said, "You don't remember me." And I said, "No, son, I don't remember you." I said, "Have I met you before?" And he said, "Yeah, at the airport." I said, "Oh, you're the boy who had the little cub, was feeling that. I prayed for your leg." He said, "That's me." I said, "So what did the Lord do for you?" He said, "I have never had another pain since you prayed for me that day." How many things did God give us that pertain to life and godliness? And He gave us all these wonderful, awesome promises, did He not? That by these precious promises, you can become partakers of the divine nature of God. You think God has steel in His leg? He don't have no problem with His legs, does He? So see, He gave us the promises. He told us what to do. He told us how to stand on His promises. Did He not? Lord, thank you. I'm in your word. I'm studying. I see right here. In fact, I was tickled. Somebody came in a while ago and they told me, said, "Wow," I forget whether it was their daughter or who it was, but some lady, and she was telling me, she said, "I took some of your CDs and DVDs home and my children started listening to them and said my daughter," I think he said her daughter, daughter-in-law, whatever, "has now listened to the entire New Testament and she's fixing to buy her the Old Testament." She said, "This guy Thurman Scrivener so inspired me to study the Word of God." She said, she's kind of like the lady that stood right here yesterday at the healing school. She says, "Somebody give me a copy of God's power." She said, "I listen to God's power and I listen to God's power and I listen to God's power." She said, "I know I've listened to God's power at least 20 times. She said, "I've never even dreamed that anybody could walk in that place with God." But is it possible? Is it only possible for me? Who's it possible for? Everyone that believes. Isn't that wonderful? That's what makes life so much fun. When you find out that you are a son of God and He'll answer your prayer just like He does me, Scott, that makes life wonderful, does it not? Yeah, and then you get to pray for people and you see get to see God show up and do all kinds of things. And you will love it. If you're sick and afflicted and you're having trouble getting healed, what should you do? Get in the Word. Start spending time with God in His Word. And should you beg or plead? No begging and pleading. Come to Him on behalf of His promises, right? He give us how many great and awesome precious promises? All of them. And they're all ours, and they're all yes and amen. So when you get in His Word, and you begin to quote His Word to Him and say, "Father, You said right here, I have a covenant with You. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Right here, You said I can ask for this. And so I'm going to ask for You to do this, to heal my body, my hand, whatever." Just like when I tore my hand up. In fact, I don't know if He wants me to call Him out, but I'm going to do it anyway. But when I tore this hand all to pieces, It took me 3 weeks to get that thing healed. But I got that hung in an overhead door spring. I tore that thing all to pieces, and that was on Friday. And on Sunday at church, the doctor sitting right back there, he's here today, he come back and he said, "What is wrong with your hand?" And I said, "Well, I got it hung in an overhead door spring." He said, "Can I see it?" I said, "Okay, come back in my office. I don't want to undo it out here for everybody to look at, because I know how people are. If it's bandaged, oh, it's not so bad. Maybe if a little cut here or there. But if I unbandage it and it's tore all to pieces, oh my God, Thurman's hand's destroyed. It won't never be right." Is that the way we do?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, that's the way we do. So he looked at my hand, and he said, "Oh, Thurman, that hand needs 200 stitches. He said, "But I know you ain't going to go to the doctor, are you?" I said, "Nope, I've already been to the doctor. The one and only doctor." And he said, "I know you ain't going to have a single stitch put in that hand." I said, "That's right. I'm not going to have a single stitch put in it." And in 3 weeks, that hand is completely healed and perfect without a stitch. I totally trusted the Lord, and it was tore all to pieces. Look at it. Do you see any scars? Isn't that wonderful?
That's awesome.
How good a job does our master do when you trust him? Let me ask you this question. If this had happened to me a few years ago, I didn't have that kind of faith. Why do you think I have that kind of faith today? I'm in the Word. That's the kind of work the Master does. Isn't it wonderful, Peggy, how he fixed that hand? He's great. Roy, he's good, isn't he? I love to bring glory and honor to God. Don't you, Andy?
You bet.
Look at that hand. Look at that hand. Man, I mean, that hand works, don't it?
Strong, too.
Amen. Strong. I am completely convinced that the reason the Lord puts me through all these trials and tests and lets me do this thing is to show you how it works.
Amen.
To let me be an example to you that my word works. And it will work every time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. According as His divine power is given unto us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises we might be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So praise God, I'm going to live to be 150 at least. I'm going to be healthy and strong. I'm not going to have anything wrong with me. I'm going to have eagle eyes. 2010. That's what Cheryl keeps telling me. Not 2020. I keep saying, "I'm going to have 2020. She says, "No, honey, you want 2010. I said, "That's better than an eagle." She said, "That's what he restores your youth like the eagle," she said. So you need to have 2010 eyesight. And your hearing is going to be perfect in the name of Jesus. Now, is all that available to every one of us? If we only believe. Father, I thank you and praise you for these promises. I thank you and praise you for the Word of God. I thank you that I have had the privilege to live on this side of history when you have written these promises and given to us. And Lord, they're all ours, and these promises are yes and amen to every one of us every time. You never say no to your obedient children. I thank you, Father, for your promises and your Word. Thank you for revealing it to us. Now, Lord, thank you for meeting every person's need that's here today as we pray for them. Lord, I ask you to heal them, touch them, whatever, Lord, but bless them and bless them abundantly in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you said if we decree a thing, it's done. So, Lord, I decree that we're going to be healthy and wealthy and strong, and we're going to have plenty of everything, and you're going to watch over us and protect us all through this time so that if anything goes crazy in our country, and it could be, you're going to watch over us, protect us still, and take care of us even through the devastation. You're going to use us mightily for your glory. And we praise you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.